triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
WPFW, Washington.
Forget that you used to treat me just like anyone. Truth or dare? All right, and welcome to Inside Out. Happy Monday. How, and so today, just for the tea, Bianca is not able to join us tonight, my normal, beautiful co-host. So now I have another lovely co-host, which is just so wonderful. So I want to say like guest, but because you're just like so amazing, but like you're a host too of Inside Out. So now we're blending, we're doing. Absolutely. Yes, Dapo.
Hey, everybody, Dapo here. I'm so happy to be here. I'm glad you hit me up. You know what I said? I said, Right. Absolutely. I will absolutely be on the air with you. So,
I'm so happy. And thank you. I'm glad that this worked out. And shout out to our new fun engineer, Cody. Hey, yes, Cody. Yes. You're already so fun. You might be a new favorite. You might have to do this like every time I'm on. So like, then we're good. Okay. I coined it. All right. So for those who don't know, Inside Out radio show illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA inclusive lens. We are proud to be part of the legacy of cutting edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. And please catch us on iTunes after. In case you don't catch us live, you can cue it up in your car. And please feel free to give us a call, give us a shout out, ask a question, give your opinion if you like at 202-588-0893. So, Nabo, we got a lot of stuff going on in the world.
How about it? But first, you know, shout out to the sun still being out. You know, I know we lost that hour, but I'm so grateful for the sunlight that we, quote unquote, gained.
Yeah.
You know, because the seasonal affective depression was kicking my behind. Like, you know, 4:30, I'm like, I'm going to just lay down for the rest of the night. That's it.
It's true. But it's true. It is very true. It's like you do feel it, you know, and I don't think a lot of people really understand that the effects, you know, can change things mentally, you know, for you and the way you, you know, see like inspiration throughout your day, you know, if it's dark when you leave and dark when you come back, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm ready to wear something different.
Absolutely. Less clothes, ready to wear less clothes. Ready
I didn't to say not, that. Not I'm a nun. What do you mean? I'm a nun. I'm a nun.
Of course.
I'm Mary Poppins. What do you mean? That's me. I don't know to which you're speaking. Right. Less clothes. I don't.
Just, you know, just less, no socks. You know what I mean? Yes. No socks. I'm looking forward. Check this out. Very wild. I had on like back, you know, when it was beginning of fall, it was still warm. So I was able to wear some slides. I didn't have my socks on. All my students and their parents were like, oh, you got your dogs out.
Oh, I'm no. Like, well,
they're sandals. So, but I feel like they were expecting me to have socks on.
Well, is that like your, like, cause you know, we all have like a look.
Right.
You know, like a go-to. Are you a socks and sandals, like Adidas type person?
I mean, I can be, but I'd rather just not have on any socks and have a flip-flop, have a slide, a mule, you know.
Okay.
Folks were very perturbed and like I was wilding out for not having on socks and sandals. I was like, y'all know that these are made to wear without socks.
Yeah, but you know, I've noticed that. So what used to be a faux pas is like a thing.
Absolutely.
Right. So it was a faux pas.
It was.
Back when the Birkenstocks were ugly.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. Okay. And now it's like, oh, you break them. And I'm like, I don't know. But then like now they have that. What's the other ones where everybody puts the pogs and stuff on it? What is those?
Oh, the Crocs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ugly. Okay. But now they are like bejeweled. And now you wear them to the hospital, you know, like absolutely. Not to the hospital. Like you're going to the hospital, like people in the hospital wear them. And like, they look like old, like nurse shoes, right? Because that's what they look like. That's what they were like. I believe they were inspired from these things. And, you know, once you trip in those one time, you'll never wear them again. But, you know, now everybody has like the Crocs and like the long socks and then like the shorts are long. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm different with style, especially on guys, right? Like, I think that who knows what men are wearing? You know, I think that's always a debate now about like, oh, who's wearing what and who's doing this? And what's Harry Styles? I think he just messed it up for everybody. But, you know, but he looked good either way, you know. But, you know, everything's so long. And then things are just so short. And so, you know, it's either all or nothing.
Absolutely.
It's all or nothing, you know.
One extreme to the other, it's fine.
It is one extreme to the other. I mean, you can't look up a personal trainer without like knowing that they have an OnlyFans. So this is my pet peeve. This is my pet peeve about the guys with the OnlyFans. Why do y'all have like nudity all over and then you'll be in a Speedo and then have your like newborn baby in the same picture? Just yuck. That is so, it's like to be the person with this person, be like, yeah, honey, put our baby like next in the next picture, mm-hmm. Next to your dumbbell, yes. You know, yes. like the generations now are going to be like, oh, how many followers do you have? And like OnlyFans, like that's like a whole thing. And it's like, oh, wow. Like how to say you're not going to have a great relationship without saying it, you know?
Right.
Like, wow. Well, I mean, you don't even have to have an OnlyFans anymore. I mean, an Instagram account is like basically that, or you can just date a guy under 30. I've been accused, believe
shots
me. It's there. Well, I don't know if their shots are the truth, but it's like if you do somebody under 30, it's just kind of like, okay, if they don't have a career already and like have learned to work into different situational aspects of their life mentally and just aren't, you know, like shooting things up on a video game screaming all night, they usually have the same haircut, the same workout outfits, and the same montage when it comes to speaking to girls on Tinder. You know, I'm not on Tinder, but the same people who are on there seem to tend to find me. Uh-huh. And I used to not understand why, but now I get it. I'm honest and I tell people what's gone on in my life, and I've heard that you shouldn't do that. Yeah, you're giving them roles. I'm reading them lines for a character they should be. And they're usually pretty good at it at first, but my mom watched too much Murder, She Wrote growing up. So yeah. I am actually like Jessica Fletcher in the body of Daphne from Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it's just
what a visual.
I mean, I don't know. I've been accused, I guess. I don't know. So we have, and we just getting started. I love it. So we have a little fun, you know, topics or so. You know what? Like, I like oopsie, like copied and pasted. So like, forget my blonde moment for the run of show. Oh, you were like, no, I didn't even read it. Thanks.
No, I did. I did.
Okay.
I read it.
Great. And so, so when it comes to this new, actually, you know what's so funny is I had put something in it and it didn't say. So now I see what the issue is.
Got you.
Oh, actually, no, you know what? You have the good one. And then I opened up an old one. It's my fault. And only I'm seeing this. So this is great. I did do everything professional. Believe me.
Okay, good.
So we can move on. So when it comes to, you know, what's going on in the White House, how do you feel? Yeah, what's happening there?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It's all just foolishness, you know. It's foolishness. I do my best to not be so deep into all the things. I do know that they're currently tearing up Black Lives Matter Plaza. I know that happened today. DC taxpayers are like $500,000, you know.
Wait, what just happened?
Yeah, Black Lives Matter Plaza. They're like jackhammering it. I don't know why they just don't paint it over, but they have to, like, you know, the president said that has to go, you know, DEI, all these things, get that out of here. Okay, we're getting it out of here. So Black Lives Matter Plaza has to be demolished, and it's made into like American Plaza or like Patriotic Plaza or something of that nature. I told you, I'm like on the cusp. I don't know a lot, but I know little
you don't know. We don't know if it's a fact, but we know it's true.
Right. I know enough not to be as mad as I could be. you know.
I all of these things are just exasperating. Like, you know, it's sociopathic, it's psychotic, it's narcissism. It's like the way to do like little petty things that then when we look and say like, you know, like that actually makes me feel, then they're like, why? Like, you're attacking me. I'm so fragile. Yes, you are. You're so fragile that you have to like destroy something and pretend like you're doing things for, you know, mankind, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's just like into who, like, so all these people who are the FAFOs of the life, you know, F around and find out.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, I was fired from my federal job, you know. And I'm like, oh, is that your black job? Like, you know, like, is that black job? Because, okay. Because that's all you were thinking was, you know, the black jobs, which I don't even get that concept where it's like, okay, you want these people gone. And then it's like, okay, but then who, like, why, you know, it's so much, but now they're upset.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm a veteran. They interviewed some man on CNN, I think it was like last week, and, you know, he got fired. And he was a veteran and, you know, all the stuff. And they were, and so the newscaster, and she was like, you know, bless her. She was like, so do you regret your vote? And he was like, well, you know, I don't regret my vote, but, and I was like, you should have just cut him off at them.
Right.
Know? Then shut up. Then shut up. Like, back to you, John, you know, because it was like, this is exasperating. Like you're so deep.
So deep.
You're so deep that something that financially is affecting you and people around you, you're still going to be like, well, no, because of the immigrants. When you trick. Okay, so you know the oldest lie is that, you know, white skin had more value than the money in their pockets. Right, so that's gone on forever, you know. And so when they tricked Latino people to think, like, okay, you're not an immigrant. Like,
whiteness is a hell of a drug, okay?
Well, and it was crazy. It was like they thought they were flying so close to the sun, and then they got burned. It was like, does flying close to the sun sound good? Not to me. Like, it doesn't sound good. But they thought we're flying close and we're gonna be accepted into this. We're gonna be like the Germans and the Italians and the, you know, I don't know who really ever says this, but it's like, oh, the beautiful light skin. It's like usually people say beautiful tan skin, beautiful dark skin, you know, but you will hear it if you hang around them enough. I've been accused of doing that. But they have a lot of, you know, racial biases, you know, between, you know, their culture too. So I don't, you know, it's deep.
It is.
It's deep.
And then they were different. They thought they were exceptional. Like you, like, I thought it wasn't going to happen to us. We were so confused. We didn't really understand what was going on. Why didn't you? Because you were blinded by your fake exceptionalism and racism and xenophobia. So what do you mean? Because it was plain. Everything was made plain. He's a liar. He's a cheat. A sexual assaulter. He's a felon.
Oh.
And you're like, I believe this guy. What?
Well, they thought all of that wrapped into an immigrant person was going to be deported. And they found out it was just their Uncle Bob.
Bob.
Because to me, I'm like, well, all of what you explained, I'm like, I know so many men like that. That's so crazy. But, you know, and it's just like, well, you know, maybe it should be like the Amazonians where we just cast them all on. I don't know. But, you know, a lot of fighting, you know, roosters fight.
Yeah.
You know, hens lay eggs. But I digress. But anyway. So sure enough, like these are these issues that these people are having and they're, you know, talking about it quite often. And now, you know, they're like, oh, the black Americans, you need to like help us. And I'm like,
oh, no,
we can say it in any language, honey. No. So the point is, you know, it's universal. No. And it's not because we don't want to. It's because we warned you. And also because when you felt like the brick was on my head, it was okay.
It was.
And, you know, and being a person, of, you know, of course, color and, you know, multiracial, whatever you want to, you know, call in the lineage. But also being a trans person, you know, I've had like these feelings of where, you know, I've always been very open-minded to people and immigration, even when like the Muslim ban's going on. You know, here I will be very... I don't know, but I'm open to what's going on, right? Because I work with so many different people and I don't have like a lot of these biases, right? But I'm very aware of them.
Yeah.
But I have understood that, you know, because of religion and all these other, you know, cultures that have religion and a lot of heavy misogyny in it, there is no place for me, you know, because there, I mean, yeah, there's a place if I want to answer like late night calls to people that, you know, don't want people to know what's going on. But darling, I'm past that. So it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And at the end of the day, like those things are very violent and harmful towards, you know, trans women, you know, especially trans women of color. So they will promote it in the background, but they will hate it in the front. And so in the front is where it's dangerous, because I don't want to become minimized as an American citizen who is building, you know, wealth and job opportunities for people, or has, you know, before, and making a lot of things go around because of the industry that I'm in. It is a lot of money movement. And so that being said, I don't think it's fair that, you know, somebody judges me based on like an identity that I happen to be, but not put on my business card.
Right.
It's not on my forehead. Right. Yeah. At least I don't think. But sure enough, it's like, you know, that's not my, you know, purse first moment.
Right.
So if there's people that, you know, they want to live the American dream and they want to do these things that, you know, us as people of color have been like wanting to express and be in for as long as, you know, we could be able to have the idea. Right. It's like, where do you get off oppressing us and then learning to not like us before you come here, but then you use our pink print to survive and then still think that you're above, and now you got messed up, you done forgot. And now people got to walk around with their papers. Now, if somebody, oh, does this sound familiar? If somebody accuses you of a crime, you've got to go. Okay, remember, this is like the Emmett Till, you know, in a whole moment, right?
So, so
maybe you should have learned your Black history. I'm just saying.
You should have aligned with the least of them. You should have, you know, quote unquote, you should have aligned with us. And also that, like, they're the enemy, not us. You know, they don't think anything of you. Obviously,
I didn't think of them at all, you know, but like that's the problem. And I think it's worse when you hear it from people who are of immigrant descendants and things like that, where it's like, oh, they're taking our jobs. And I was like, I didn't see you working on a farm last week. In fact, I didn't see you working at all. But, you know, but yes, please, the economy is hard for you who does not work. As I get up each morning and work and then deal with everything else that I just like explained on my mind and, you know, and push through. It's nothing like a person who literally burdens themselves with things and doesn't have the natural burden of, you know, what you have. And then they're like, yeah, but the economy and these immigrants taking jobs. When'd you get your last check?
Right.
So it's just like, I, you know, I'm just really not into the like, the tantrums and the imagination that people have now put on themselves as being better, you know, humans. You know, if people are fleeing persecution, you know, and that is, you know, a way to seek asylum, I think that that's, you know, a thing that, you know, we've said we would help. I don't really feel that it's, you know, okay to just strip people and then, you know, from their homes and children and everything like that, and then put them in these detention centers is a nice way of saying, right? And I said this the end of last year. I was like, okay, people talk about detention centers and these paid for prisons, right? And we know like this has all been a mess for our people.
Absolutely.
So because you're needing to put people in there, like that's the game.
Yeah.
And so I said, so if they have undocumented people who are supposedly lost and, you know, now are getting found and round up and now put into these places, who gets them out? Who finds you? Who knows you're there?
Who?
And see, that's where these people didn't think of these things. Who is going to help you? Because if we can't have the Democratic Party getting into the Department of Education, who's going to get in there?
Exactly.
Who's going to get in there?
Who has the chair to throw against that glass? Like, what is going on? You like,
no,
people
messy.
Let us in.
You're messy.
And y'all don't bum rush that door.
But now people aren't going to work. People are worried about dropping their kids to school.
Absolutely.
So now, you know, it's just, it's messy. And then, you know, these guys have been so drilled down, you know, this was the trick, right? The Andrew Tates of the world. So people are all wondering about, oh, why was he freed? And now, you know, they want him thrown back into Florida, you know, and I say thrown back into Florida because it's like, even DeSantis didn't want him there. Just to understand rough. when white boots don't want you, honey. Okay.
You messed up.
You messed up. That means you're too deep for him. Okay. So the key is like, you know, I was talking to my mom and she was like, yeah, those guys. And I was like, oh, Andrew Tate. I was like, oh, honey, because he helped. You don't understand this, but he helped Trump a long time ago. Absolutely. Because he indoctrinated young men into thinking that they were somehow okay. Again, you know, he's standing up and all of a sudden you're saying that, you know, you own a woman and you don't even have a Ferrari or, you know, can make a living for yourself and provide for somebody else, which he said are the fundamentals of a man, by the way. So a lot of these young men are misinterpreting the nastiness of, you know, you can talk to this person if you provide for this person type thing. Not that you should and you shouldn't. That is like not even a thing. So I don't sign on to that. But this is who they're promoting. And this is who started to change the mindsets of people, you know? And so why wouldn't you bring him back in order to dig it up some more?
Absolutely.
To say, oh, the sex trafficking allegations or the abuse towards women that, you know, he was blamed for and everything. I mean, that just sounds like, you know, Trump's number one hits, you know, to me. I mean, they must be passing out this album because I'm telling you, these dudes, they write on the money with this. And I'm just like, but for what? Like, what does this get you? Like, it's a constant circle of misery.
Absolutely.
No accountability, even though they pretend that they know what that is. Unfortunately, the therapy videos that are for people to get out of situations, these people are watching because YouTube is a great thing, right? We learn to help ourselves, but they're learning to keep us down. So, you know, that is a thing. Andrew Tate, why not? Absolutely. He's back and he'll be up there, I'm sure. And yeah, you know, we can kiss like whatever little understanding of dating, you know, in the world. Good day.
Yeah, God bless. I just, you know, God bless. It's really a conundrum and the delusion is rampant and the lack of critical thinking is just at an all-time high. And it's like,
Yeah, there is a moment of silence for that because,
absolutely,
you know, yeah, no, everybody thinks that they need to be, so having celebrities and people that actually had knowledge informing people is a dying breed. Like people aren't even taking time to like read and like understand. Like I was actually watching a Jubilee debate of Sam Cedar, who he's Democrat and liberal. And he was a person who was on sitcoms before, but now he, you know, does a lot with like the political world, the government, civics, you know, believe like even science and everything. Really, handsome, fun guy, a little bit older. And he took on like 25 conservatives, you know, on this, you know, a buzzer round type debate situation on Jubilee. Yeah. Fascinating watch because he was telling them what DEIA was, and they just kept spewing the same number one hit. So it's about merit. Okay, great. So merit means, okay, no answers. Or
yeah.
then it would be like, oh, they need to get rid of Social Security because of the taxes. Wait, the government gets tax breaks because they're hiring black people. The FFA does not. They don't pay taxes. So, and then they're like, but they do. And then trans people, what was the greatest thing I heard? Oh, they can't do military things because of the hormones and the freezer you must take and the, you know, and the pills. And then, oh, the depression meds and stuff. And I was like, oh, sweetie, like, wow. I was like, I didn't know I had all these things. But
right?
I was like, but sign me up. Like, sign me up. Because, I mean, whoa, honey, like, I'm out here just living my best life.
Good.
You know? You got me looking like Madonna. Like, I mean, mean, knew the number one hits of all of what we took. And I was like, sweetie, like those beauty pills are not to calm me down. You know, well, they did calm me down, but like it made me more aware. Mm. So maybe that's the danger right there. You know what I'm saying? When you're when you're trying to know what you already know, and then now you get this guiding light, and then you're like, oh, it's like what men want, which was the remake of What Women Want. I know what these fools are already thinking.
Don't let that light make you too woke.
Too woke. Yeah. No, I'm going to be stay woke on that mess because I was like, no, that's wrong. I don't like that. I'm not going to allow you to do that. No, I've already seen where your eyes looked and I know what you're thinking. I was there. I saw. I know. I didn't like it, but I got it and I know it. And now I'm thinking critically, not impulsively. My impulse comes from lack of patience after a long period of them. Different. Yeah, it's why they call you crazy after they leave.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now I was made to be crazy.
They drove me crazy.
Hey, nothing's wrong with a little crazy. What does Cardi say? Love a toxic. Okay. So, well, we will get back into the next part of our lovely tea chat of modern politics and pop culture after this wonderful song that I just, you know, I just thought it was like just fun for today. I've been in this mindset, you know, this year started off kind of, but you know, then I heard the song and I was like, yes, yes, this is the vibe. So Cody, if you can bring us into Busy Woman by Sabrina Carpenter.
I'm so mature, collected and sensible, except when I get hit with rejection. To turn me down, well that's just unethical. I'll turn into someone you're scared to know. But if you need my love, my clothes are off, I'm coming over to your place. And if you don't need my love, well, I didn't want you anyway. Yeah, I'm a busy woman, I won't even let you come into my calendar at night. But if you want my kisses, I'll be your perfect missus to the day that one of us dies. So much to shave and lipstick to rebuy. Maybe for you, though, I could accommodate. I'm flexible, so just tell me what you like. Tantric yoga, baby, my mistake. If you don't want me, I'll just deem you gay. But if you need my love, my clothes are open.
We are back with Inside Out. Yes. Busy woman.
Yes.
I live. Uh-huh. Sabrina Carpenter, like my girl, God bless her. She's always been like, do you just like write her albums? Because like you just like live these lives. And I'm like, ah, I know. It's kind of like one of those things, you know? It's like Taylor Swift with, you know, Mariah Hare and the shade of Beyonce. There we go.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Humble brag, by the way. But
anyway. Yes.
Yes, Dolly. Yes. Mm-hmm. But so we have to get into Luigi Mangione.
Yes. Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to
We're not promoting that. We're supposed to say things like he doesn't matter. No, wait, that was the other guy.
I'm not promoting violence.
Nobody said that.
You know, none of that. But you know.
The more you know, the more you know. So the more we know is that this man who was allegedly unalived by Luigi was going through the database using AI tools to find out who should live or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Crazy. It sounds like the villain from Inspector Gadget rubbing a cat with a metal arm.
Absolutely.
Like, girl, what? When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's so true. You know, like that is so true. You are playing Game of Thrones in modern days.
Straight up. But
I don't care.
What's wrong with your heart? Why is your heart so dark?
Money. And now we get into like the oligarchs, right? And mm-hmm. like, you know, so then we talk about like Doge and, you know, all these things. And I think what people fail to understand is that when people, you know, Joe Rogan, darling, you know, which, oh, there's another one, right? You know, I will watch these tired people who used to, you know, okay, wait. So I got a lot to say on this. Okay. So, well, I usually do. But the thing is, Joe Rogan said to Elon Musk in an interview recently about, oh, the Democrats and liberals used to love you. Now they're calling you, you know, Hitler, you know, on your own platform that you bought. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's like crazy. And it's funny that somebody who used to run Girls Gone Wild VHS tapes as mm-hmm. a host, mm-hmm. who is now the biggest podcaster in, you know, I don't know the world, darling, but, you know, I don't know if he's Mr. Worldwide, but all I'm saying is there is a moment where you have to understand where you came from, okay, and who you were to where you're at now, okay? Mm-hmm. You're like balding, you got the like not cute version of the Mark Wahlberg lines on the forehead, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you're talking a lot and it's great and it's cool or whatever, but you know, you have your moments where, you know, you can be in it and then you're out of it. But Elon was a person who was innovative, you know, and still is, of course, you know, great mind. But what people don't really understand about like these data scientists and these people who have all of these special, you know, engineering skills to that upteenth is that a lot of times, you know, and it has been talked about more so, mm-hmm. that there is a spectrum. Okay. And where it's spectrum, which now a lot of people have like adult autism, and, you know, then also we talk about antisocial. Antisocial used to seem as standoffish, not really speaking too much. People didn't really look at it as, you know, you're psychopaths, you're sociopaths, you're like narcissists, right. You know, right. That is an antisocial, because even if a person is consuming a lot of time from you, the personality is antisocial because it becomes a part of them which they do not bond with other people. Uh-huh. It's a facade. Uh-huh. Okay. So when you deal with somebody like Elon Musk, who is so highly intelligent, the empathy is lacking. That's what is common in all of these people, right? That have mm-hmm. these traits. Mm-hmm. The empathy. Okay. Mm-hmm. They see things as this and that.
Right. Black
or
okay.
white. Black or white. So it's, we're going to give this money. Who cares about these people? Who it's going to hurt? We need to stop so I can figure out what contracts I want to grab up. I don't care about the fairness. In fact, we're going to fire the people who are investigating me. And people are just like, yeah, that's a win. And I'm like, what? Like, if you don't pay your easy pass toll, they're coming after you, dog. You know? And you over here like, oh, yes, get another, like, $180, like, billion dollars. Like, it's like, why do you want this man to have so much more money than you could ever pronounce?
It's crazy. And why does, I mean, if you have no empathy, if you're so smart, I feel like this is a personal problem as well. It's like going to therapy, like help me be a human being so that I'm not destroying all mankind in the capitalistic world that we have here because I have all the money.
All the money, but
all the money.
It's funny when you so back to the Jubilee roundtable that I was talking about, or the debates. You know, they kept talking about how the tax cuts helped people that were in, you know, poverty before when Trump did it, and, you know, all these things. And it's like, okay, an extra like $1,000 may be great for people with lower incomes, right? But like giving extra to people that are over the brackets, right? It doesn't really do anything. And then when they get the money back, they just invest it, and then things become higher because of their investing, and then you can't touch it and reach it. So it's just funny because it moves too fast. And in younger people who go, oh, I don't understand why Social Security's around, like, that's not my responsibility. We should start 401ks for 20-year-olds. And if they don't, and if they don't follow through with this, then they're out of luck. And it's like, okay, that's funny because, you know, this is an insurance policy type thing that's set up, and it's the most successful government, you know, government funded program that we've had. So you're trying to destroy this because you're young, dumb, and don't really get what the longevity of your life will be. I mean, you know, and I mean, of course, when we're all young, we think, oh, live forever, or, you know, whatever.
Life happens.
You know, and some people be 25 and looking like they lived forever in the face. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that's what these lollipop head boys were, you know, talking about, oh, you know, and then they had this Latino guy on there about like the Christian rights and, you know, all these things, religious freedoms, and how, you know, women need to be more, you know, in the understanding of being, you know, told what to be doing, and, you know, having these children. And then they had this young white girl, blonde, and she said, oh, we have a culture here. And it's, you know, basically white people. And it was just astonishing. This man, Sam Seder, God bless him, he was just like, okay, well, like I said, this would benefit you, and we would never get along, you know, in what we think. And the way he looked, he was like, you're doing all the work for me, just talking, because she was so there. You know, we have a culture. Assimilation means to be like, and that means that a melting pot is that, and we are the ones. And I was like, whoa. You know, like, this is who's there. So when people are talking about like, oh, why do these certain kinds of women vote for a Republican? And you go, well, that's that. And also, you know, I mean, why men have been, you know, the like ones who have, you know, led the household for them. So like, you know, they're sitting like, well, if I got to work, I'm tired of working. And they're tired of working. Like, they're like, oh, you know, I don't want to be working. I want, you know, Tim to be able to get, you know, this money. And, you know, I want to be able to do this over here. And then I'm going to get my tennis trainer because, you know, he's flying around all the time. So I know he has Becca, Sue, and Sally. And I'm going to have, you know, Ron and throw in a LeBron. Why not? You know,
why not? It's not proximity to whiteness. It's proximity to power. You don't want to give up your power.
Well, I mean, and you know, I don't.
But I never want my power to be so much that nobody else has any. Like,
well, that's you sensible. So you understand things about people, right? Like, we're activists for what reason? Not because we said we were, because other people said we were. That's you, right? How many times do people have? How many times? Let me ask you. How many times have you just done something because you wanted to volunteer and enjoy something? Other people come to you after you've done your part and say, "Would you like to do this? Mm-hmm. Would you like to be a part of that?
Yeah.
Would you like to be in control of that?" Right? And you're just like, "Sure, sure, why not?" And then there's other people, and I'm asking yes or no, right? This has happened for you. Yes. Okay. Of course. Because I know a little bit about you, of course, you know. So the point is that that's one way that people hold power and share wealth and understanding because of wanting to do that always and being in a position of leadership. Mm-hmm. Then there's people who have this goal in mind mm-hmm. of when they get power, what that will mean for them. When they get that job, when they get that money, when they get that girl, when they get that car, you know, these are the things that keep them motivated. Mm-hmm. And it's really not about the luxuries of stability and how they can work with people around them. It's about how people will revere them. Mm-hmm. It's how people will have to deal with them, because without the power, who would? So here we are. Mm-hmm. Some man who was, you know, probably pushed in a locker mm-hmm. as a young man.
Absolutely.
Now ruling a lot of the world.
Absolutely.
IT and data science and the way the world has gone has taken the guys who used to be the back seat when it came to selection okay. and now has moved them into the front. Okay. It has moved them into the front with monetary value and control. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now they're making everybody's lives hell. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. They make every app have a sneaky function. So, you know, that quarterback that he didn't like in high school will definitely fall into that trap and then mm-hmm. get a divorce. And then it'll be this whole thing. You know, it's just so funny. It's like they just created all these things for these idiots that they never liked. Mm-hmm. And now they're running the world. And everybody used to just think they were a dweeb.
Yeah.
Yes, I still use dweeb.
Yeah,
I like it.
I said dweeb.
They're a dweeb. I said it. They're a dweeb. And that's what they are. You know, Elon Musk had masculine surgery on his face and hair roots, gender-affirming care.
Absolutely.
To look like a man. So my point is like, if you can look like a man, Caitlyn Jenner can look like a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And they always throw out the sports things for 10 people who maybe have shaken a tail feather in the Olympics that are trans. Calm down. Calm down. Like, I get the whole, you know, and this is a thing I talk to my sis about a lot, right? Because I say, mm-hmm. you know, as trans people, there has to be an understanding of when we come to the table, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we're getting. What are we talking about? You know, are we going to have Blossom up there yelling and screaming, talking about nothing? I don't think we should. She should not be a spokesperson. She's not a spokesperson for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a level of where we have to know who's saying what now.
Yeah.
And we also have to stop the stunts, you know, that are going to provoke anger and negativity towards folks, you know, because of this bathroom situation. So going up and doing a protest, you know, and this is my opinion. This mm-hmm. is my opinion. Mm-hmm. Going in and doing this bathroom protest. For the leader of the protest to now be moving to Mexico. Sis. I don't know. Like, I mean, that's kind of funny to me. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like we all go out. I bring the drugs and everybody else gets caught up and I just leave.
Right.
And I say, well, it was fun. We did it by a police station. What did you expect? So you did all this before the Trump administration comes through and you don't think they was going to get you? Mm. Get us, get people.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I think that when we come to the table, we have to realize like sports, maybe not the big deal. I would think that employment, fairness, you know, anti-discrimination, housing, you know, funding for certain things that will help to promote, you know, trans identities in different positions in the workforce. I just feel like, you know, I have a business background, you know, I ran a chamber and, you know, from what I know, only trans woman of color who has actually been the head of a whites-only organization at a time, okay? Mm-hmm. It's very different when you play hardball with those people mm-hmm. and teach at the same time. Yeah. And there's a lot of code switching, you know? I get it, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. But what it did was open doors for now trans women to actually be new presidents of these organizations I was in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of them happened to be, you know, a trans woman of color for real.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was loving this. Right.
Yeah.
So did we win? Yes. Did we win? Okay. So there is a way to be eloquent, and to get your point across and educate And maybe not every fight is because of what we feel. It's, you know, it's some fights we got to just kind of let be for a little bit until we can get to the point where we're really at that table. You know, we got somebody in Congress and there's like nobody even talking to her. Mm. And she's bright.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why isn't she talking on Piers Morgan? Why? But we got Blossom. It's just like when they go into certain places for our people, something tragic happens and they find out one person.
Yeah. It's okay.
You know, I was this, but my magenta weave stopped it. You know, it's like, you know, that you ever seen that one?
No.
Where the ex-boyfriend shot the woman in the back of the head?
No.
But what stopped the bullet was her magenta weave.
Oh.
Because it had been in there for so long.
Oh no.
I cannot look it up on YouTube, magenta weave. And she goes, it was my magenta weave. And I was like, yes, girl. Like, she got saved. And he went to jail for like attempted murder. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it was wild. And he was in the backseat. It wasn't even from afar.
Oh.
Yeah, crazy. But nonetheless.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out what kind of yakki it was or what was underneath, you know.
Right.
Like, it's like one of those moments where it's like, you know, the meatloaf and then the silk on top. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know. I said, God bless. I can't. So with Luigi Mangione, so the debunked situation, we'll go back to this before we wrap up, is that he had a sex tape.
I just looked that up. I said, oh.
Did you look it up or look it up?
I looked it up. I didn't go deep into.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did. Of course, yeah. I did. What are you talking about? Like what?
I've
been, like, ever since I seen him, I was like, they, you know, I need to find a Luigi because, like, I'm trying to dress up like Princess Tulsa at all. Like, okay. Because, honey, like, that, yikes. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
But nonetheless, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. Like, you know, hopefully it is. But the thing is that people were actually celebrating the fact that he had this. They were like, oh, you know, it's just so wild that, like, we have to keep searching because we just don't believe this fake news, you know? Like, all these jokes are coming out. You know? And so it's just like, it makes sense, right? Like, the guy is studying. But what it really speaks to is, like, the Democrats needing to actually, like, listen to what's happening here.
Yeah.
Something negative happened to the CEO who was cheating people and basically killing people and everything else that everybody, you know, can say they've experienced fraud from insurance and things like this has, you know, caught up to them. And these are rural state issues. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you think about how he has taken off as, you know, this person, you know, and people are backing him and everything else, and they're really like feeling like what he did was, you know, I would say justified, you know, just because that's what these people are feeling. Mm-hmm. They don't feel sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take that and mirror it to what we have in the White House, and then the Democrats start to say, well, why am I not talking to these people about these kind of situations that go on?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not over explaining what is underneath all of this? You know, who cares now about January 6th? Because nobody seems to care. You know, nobody seems to, you know, it's not ruffling the feathers to demonize this man. You have to come from up underneath and educate these folks on what is actually happening to them and pull it up and show where these, you know, proceeds, we'd say, are going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, coming from, which are the blue states to the red states, the programs from the Democrats to help these people in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. Where's the spreadsheet?
Show me the spreadsheet.
Show me the spreadsheet.
All of it.
Have the town halls now. If they're kicking the other guys out or whatever, then you fill in those spaces.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like this is the common enemy is all of this mess. So if they really highlight, you know, that it's going to be the same, if not worse, very soon,
mm-hmm.
and capitalize on this momentum, you know, the Democrats could be the Luigi Mangione.
I want them to.
Of the election.
I want them to. I want them to be courageous, but they censuring Al Green for speaking up. Like, what do you mean? Like,
look, you know, it's hey. Always, they always, it, what's the other one? What's the guy with the glasses, the cute one, the older guy? He was the comedian, Al, I think he was an Al too.
Al Mays?
No, not Al Mays. It was Al, Al Franken. Al Franken,
okay.
When he had that picture forever ago where the wolf was sleeping, and he put like his hands like he would go grab a boobies, and it was a joke, but it like never happened. But he was a comedian at the time, so they fired him, and he was like an amazing Democrat who was fighting for all these things.
Yeah,
each your own, they each your own, and then there's nothing left except for, you know, the ones that look like they're on a Seinfeld episode, you know, and then like now we have a problem.
How about that?
Well. I guess we will leave you with that. Look up the Luigi Mangione, you know, pictures, y'all. And if it looks great, then, you know, call in and let me know the next time, you know, on the air, because, you know, we need to figure that out just so we can help him take them down. That's all. Well, Dafo, it's always been a pleasure.
Oh, and, you know, all mine. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Back anytime, please. And, you know, the tea was definitely hot. This is so wild. And we got to make sure that we all stick together and help each other. You know, at this time, it's not about like the fighting and the things. Anything you want to leave with the people before we roll?
Don't be selfish. There's enough for everybody. Ground yourself, put your feet in some grass, and believe in a high power, because it'll sustain you. That's all I got.
I love that. Well, we love you and enjoy you. This has been Inside Out, and we will have another show coming up next Monday, 6 p.m. New show, new host. Yay. All right, y'all. Have a good evening and enjoy the weather. Bye. Thank you, dear. Your pleasure.
This feels way too good to be true. I'm ready to go without you. I'm falling again. It's like deja vu. The last time that I met someone like you had some good times and we had some bad times too.
Please join the WPFW family as we celebrate the life of Larry Applebaum, longtime host of The Sound of Surprise. Friends, colleagues, and coworkers will gather to remember Larry and his tremendous contributions to WPFW,
saving
the Library
up to 10%
of Congress,
you bundle
and
your
the
home
Jazz
and
World
at lunch with USAA.
Music will be provided by DC's own Paul Carr and friends. Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 2 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please go to WPFW.org.